tonight in Ephesians chapter 3. Would you read with me this morning from verse 1? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation it made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, when Paul starts out in chapter 3, there seems to be what he's going to do is going to carry on a continuation of that of chapter 2. Possibly that as he does so many times in writing, as in the book of Romans, he veered off into something else to establish a doctrine that he's going to teach. And there is a possibility that there is a parenthesis of some sort between the word "for this cause" of verse 1 and "for this cause" of verse 14. The indication is that that might be true. For instance, in chapter 2, he says in verse 19, "Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God." And then he talked about the temple. Now go to chapter 3, verse 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family," which would be the household of God of chapter 2, verse 19, "the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And I'm not saying there is a parenthesis between verse 1 and verse 14, but maybe, and it seems to imply that, and it seems that he is going to qualify some things that he has taught and is going to teach by bringing out the fact of the mystery and the Gentiles between verse 1 and verse 14. Now back in chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul." Paul uses this phrase 6 times in his epistle. Of those 6, 2 times he has a specific revelation that he's going to reveal. The rest of the time he's either just admonishing them or whatever, but as in this particular case, he puts the emphasis upon himself. In other words, in a different manner than the other time. In other words, the word ego there, I, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, and he's emphasizing what I have. He's not emphasizing what others have or what you've got or they've got or whatever. He's emphasizing what I've got that God gave to me to reveal to you. And that's the thing that he has in mind there. In other words, he's placing the total emphasis upon, as in verse 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." So therefore, what he's doing, he's placing the emphasis upon himself. In other words, there can be no, whatever the word I might use here, there can be none of the emphasis of the mystery, on the mystery, taken from the Apostle Paul and applied to Peter, James, or John, or any of the 12, or whatever. Paul, in an egotistical manner, in fact, says, "I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ, and I have received the mystery, and to me was this grace given," and on he goes. In other words, he's emphasizing that this whole thing fell upon me, and that it is not a matter of, it is divided between a bunch of us, and we've all got it. It's a matter of, I received it, and I have it, and this is going to be borne out in another passage later on, but I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Now, it's not a strange thing that Paul turns out to be a prisoner. Paul was a prisoner long before, in fact, the first mention of imprisonment is in Acts chapter 16. But that imprisonment in Acts 16 and the others that he was involved in is nothing to compare with this being a prisoner in this particular case. In those cases, he was just thrown in jail and later on was released or some such thing. In this particular case, it's for something else altogether. And he mentions this in, I believe it's about four or five epistles. For instance, in Philippians 1, verses 7 and 13, he refers to being in bonds. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 18, he refers to it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, he refers to it. He refers to it in Philemon and so forth. And I'm just referring to that so that the people who are always sarcastic about the idea of preaching the mystery and preaching rightly dividing the word and so forth, they'll always try to get at you with anything they can. And the point that I want to make here is that when you refer to the prison epistles, you aren't just joking. There are prison epistles. There are epistles that are written while Paul is the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. Now, the other times that he was a prisoner, he was not a prisoner for the Gentiles. Now he's a prisoner for you Gentiles, and the emphasis is put upon Gentiles. Notice in chapter 2, verse 11 again. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, that is not true of all Gentiles. That's why he says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. All Gentiles did not fit in that category back during the period of time in the book of Acts. For instance, turn back to Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, notice verse 28, Galatians 4:28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. In other words, the Gentiles in Galatia that believed the gospel there through Paul and whatever were the children of promise. They were in the promises. They cannot be classified with those that Paul refers to in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Go back, please, to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, verse 16, Acts 13, verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and you that fear God, give audience. Go to verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Well, those that feared God of Acts chapter 13 are not the Gentiles of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. If they were, in other words, if all of them are the same, then there is no way that Paul could have said what he said in Ephesians 2, verse 11 and 12. For they would not have been without hope and without God and so forth in the world. There is no possible way that they can both be classified as one and the same. And that's the doctrine that is taught today to try to get around the issue. For instance, independent Baptists who claim to believe and preach the mystery will try to get around the issue of Ephesians chapter 3 by saying that all the Gentiles from Acts chapter 9 and so forth along fit in the same category. But that is not true, and if it is true, then words do not mean what they say. Those between Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter, I'll say, 28 along in there, are not the same as these that were in Ephesus, who, in time past, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Those in Acts chapter 9 through Acts chapter 28 were allied with Israel. Therefore, they were in the promises and they had hope. Whereas the Ephesians were not allied with Israel. They were strangers from the covenant of promise. They were fighting against Israel, opposed Israel and whatever. Therefore, they were under the wrath of God and not in the promises. Now, back in Ephesians chapter 3 again. Ephesians 3 verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard." This is not a conditional thing here that he's referring to. It isn't that type of a sentence. It is not, "I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles," based on whether you've heard or not. It is, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles," assuming that you have heard of the dispensation and so forth. In other words, I am writing this to you and laying out this to you, assuming that you already have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Now the word "if," as he uses it here, is used like three times. It's used here, it's used in chapter 4, and look in verse 21, chapter 4, verse 21. "If so be that you've heard him," that is assuming that you've heard him and have been taught by him. Well, there's nothing conditional in verse 21, because if you go back to chapter 1, notice in chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, of gospel of your salvation." Go back to chapter 4, verse 21. Chapter 4, verse 21, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." So, but no doubt about that. In other words, these things are true based on the fact that you already have heard, and so forth and so on. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, and notice he uses it again there. Colossians chapter 1. We'll read from verse 21. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." The whole thing is that, assuming, in other words, based upon the fact that they continue in the faith and whatever, they will be presented holy and unblameable and so forth. I'm saying again, the word is not a conditional thing here any more than it is back there. In other words, these people are in the faith. It has to do with the difference in a reward and salvation. All right, go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you are assuming that, or with the understanding that you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward." Well, how could they possibly have heard? Well, they could have heard in that it began to be preached in Acts chapter 28, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 28, verse 30, that he continued 2 years in his own hired house, and he received all that came unto him. Well, during that 2 year period of time there, while he was a prisoner in Rome, there were many people that came to visit with him and went back. They came and they went. And there is no doubt that the Ephesians knew in that somebody preached the gospel under the Ephesians while Paul was in prison. Therefore, I'm saying to you that if you have heard is not a kind of a thing that, I don't know whether you have or not. In other words, they have heard, and I'm writing this to you, and I'm going to make this known unto you because of the fact that you know thus and thus and thus. In other words, it's just like Jesus Christ said to the 12 when they asked him, they said, why do you speak unto them in parables? He said, it's given unto you to know these things, but unto them it's not given, because they, having eyes to see, they see not, and having ears to hear, they hear not, and so forth and so on. In other words, the truth is revealed to people that acknowledge the truth. Those who will not acknowledge the truth never get it. These people here acknowledge the truth, and they get more truth. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. Paul, in effect, is saying that me being the one that was given the revelation, I'm the one to give the revelation unto you, based upon the fact that you already have, and then he goes on from there. In other words, they never would have received the revelation had they not believed the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. In other words, if it had been those in Acts chapter 2, they would not have received the revelation of Ephesians chapter 3. I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say to you. In other words, Paul could have pounded away on those people with this truth that he has here. Their eyes would have been blinded to this truth without first believing the gospel that was committed to this same man. Anybody who does not believe the gospel that Paul was given will never see the mystery that Paul is given. Those who believe the gospel of Acts chapter 2, you cannot show the mystery to. Therefore, there ain't no need for you to spend your time arguing with them. Get them saved, get them to see the gospel, and then deal with them on this basis here. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. They'll never see that. And people today are trying to preach the mystery, trying to get people to see the mystery, who base everything in Acts chapter 2, and that's a waste of time. Now watch this thing, how it works out in the book of Acts. Turn back with me, please, to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, now he said, I've been given the dispensation of the grace of God. And he says, all this thing that I'm going to show you right now, he said, is based upon the fact you've already heard this. In Acts chapter 20, of course, the Ephesian church is being dealt with. Now go to verse 17. Acts 20, verse 17, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks. Now notice, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch the break. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. He's already a prisoner. He's a prisoner of the Spirit right there. He's bound in the Spirit right there. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. In other words, before a shackle was ever put on his wrist, or before he was ever placed behind bars, Paul became a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. And this is a fact and a truth right here that the majority of the people today who claim to be preaching the mystery have never gotten a hold of. And now, the word now there, like unto Ephesians, in other words, the difference in Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and chapter 2, verse 13. You in time past were without Christ being aliens, but now the same thought is used there. And it's used again in Romans. Go to Romans, hold on to Acts, and go to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, There shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now watch it. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, so forth and so on, verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, there's no difference. Go back to Acts chapter 20 and Acts 20. Notice verse 21 again now. Acts 20, verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Now here it is. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel, the grace of God, and now, behold, I know that you, and on and on. In other words, the gospel, the grace of God of verse 24 matches the dispensation of the grace of God of Ephesians chapter 3. In fact of the business, the Apostle Paul had the thing laid out for him in Acts chapter 9 and never said anything about it. What? Go to Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, verse 15. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things that thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, in me. And in the passages there, in verse 16, I have appeared is in contrast with in which I will appear unto thee. And then notice, to make thee a minister of those things which thou hast seen, compared to the things that he did see later on. In fact, when he says back in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, the testify the gospel, the grace of God, he's saying the gospel, the grace of God, in contrast to that of verse 21. Testifying both of the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a contrast there. Now, we don't want to get mixed up here and what we're dealing with. You see, the gospel of Christ is the gospel that Paul preached from the first unto the last. And the gospel of Christ is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. But any of you in here who have studied the Scripture for several years and believe the Bible means what it says and so forth, and have your eyes opened and whatever, know that it would not be the same effect. Not sure that's the word I need to use here, but as in Galatians chapter 4, he said that you were in the promises of God. As in Ephesians, he said you were not in the promises of God. In Acts chapter 13, he said, you who fear God. He said, Israel, seed of Abraham, and you that fear God. The gospel of Christ would not have exactly the same effect preached unto those who already had been believing, who were ally with Israel, who believed in God, the creator of heaven and earth and whatever, its effectiveness would not be exactly the same of them as it would with those who did not believe that God was the creator of heaven and earth. They believed in idols, they worshiped idols, they fought against Israel, and so forth. There's no way that you could say they'd both be the same. In other words, the same message preached to the two different people would affect them in different ways. I'm saying it's the same gospel in the sense that it's the gospel of Christ. It's who hears it that makes the difference. When it's called the gospel of the grace of God, it's those who were enemies with God, fighting against God, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. It's still the same gospel, that is the gospel of Christ, but the effectiveness is not always the same, depending upon who hears it. In fact, those who always feared God and worked righteousness and whatever, why, it would be as if they looked forward to this being given unto them. Now, that brings me to the thing of the gospel that he preached. Notice now, the idea that I'm trying to present to you is that the Apostle Paul gets the thing in Acts chapter 9. He got the gospel of Christ in Acts chapter 9. Later on, according to the book of Galatians, Paul went away into Arabia, according to Galatians and Acts chapter 9, 10, so forth along in there. Paul went into Arabia and he spent some time in Arabia. Chances are, the Lord gave him something when he appeared unto him, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says so. In other words, he was saved by that gospel when he saw the Lord. That's the gospel of Christ. Then chances are, as the Lord said, I will appear unto thee, then when he went into Arabia, the Lord appeared unto him and gave him some material there. But that's not the only time that he got something from the Lord. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. And the teaching here by some is that he's talking about John. Well, that's just nonsense to me. Absolute nonsense. I cannot imagine the Apostle Paul trying to glory in the ministry of John after what he said in Galatians chapter 2, having shaken hands with them in agreement that he has the gospel of the uncircumcised, they have the gospel of the circumcised. No way. Why, in fact, Paul said, I glory in the cross of Christ. He said, I won't glory in myself, I glory in the cross of Christ. So in this particular case, the implication to me is that back in about Acts chapter 14, he dies. He's stoned. Falls down on the ground dead. They drag him out of the gate of the city and throw him down out there. And while he's laying there, he left his body. People talk about out of the body travel. Well, Paul traveled out of his body and he traveled up to paradise. And while in paradise, he saw things that were unspeakable in the flesh, to men in the flesh, for it would be very hard for them to understand it under the circumstances that were given by Sarah. But after they had come to know the gospel that Paul had and know other revelations that were revealed to the Apostle Paul, then maybe they would begin to understand these revelations that was made known to him there. But anyway, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5, of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, yet in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now, that is during this period of time here, before Acts chapter 20, verse 22 along in there, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he heareth of me. In other words, if Paul had revealed this truth that he had, they would have just said, you're a fool. Verse 17, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord Christ that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, Paul, then, I'm saying to you, that Paul got more than one revelation and had more than one revelation along, but he could not reveal the revelation that he began to unravel after Acts chapter 20. He did not reveal it lest they should think of him more than they saw him to be. And so God gave him this infirmity and gave him a doctor to go with him. And that doctor spent years with the Apostle Paul traveling around with him. Now, that gospel that he had, go back to Ephesians again. Now, there ain't but one thing that'll bring about the condition that God wants as is laid out in Ephesians 4, and that one thing that'll do it is the gospel of Christ, nothing else will. And that is, those who believe the gospel preached by Peter and cling to it will never bring about the condition of Ephesians 4, which has to do with one body. There is no denominationalist on the face of the earth that takes the gospel of the Apostle Paul and inserts it in Peter's gospel of Acts 2 that will ever endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, so forth and so on, of Ephesians chapter 4. And the quicker we get a hold of that and believe that, the better off we'll be. They never will. There is no way to do it. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, well, they had heard. In fact, he referred to this in Acts 20, and in 28, 2 years, he preached it in his hired house. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, come to verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now. The word now matches the other nouns that we were talking about. Now, in the dispensation of grace, it is now revealed under his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. This gospel that'll make a man, or all men rather, of the same body and so forth, is the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I know you can see what I'm saying if you would just put your thinking cap on. Here are a group of people in the book of Acts that is saved through the gospel of Christ. Here they are, right here. That bunch of people right there, feared God, worked righteousness, they're allied with Israel, and they do not eat, things offered in sacrifice to idols, they're baptized, they're involved with all those things of Israel. There they are, right there. This bunch right over here, though, they're not allied with Israel. They're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise. They will eat anything that don't eat them first, drink anything that won't kill them when they drink it, and some of the stuff they drink probably kill them later on anyway. But nevertheless, and they don't give a flip about Israel. They couldn't care if Israel went right down the drain. In fact, the business, they'd help to send Israel down the drain. They're fighting against them and whatever. That's them right there. Now, to just say the gospel of Christ, as Paul preached it back here, would not bring about the condition that Paul is telling them, that the middle wall right here, in other words, it is by this gospel that that middle wall is removed, and all of these then become one body in Christ, and they become one body in Christ by the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, these over here who still believe that God wouldn't save these over here unless they became like these over here will never become one body with them. And that's true in Pensacola, Alabama, Montgomery. I don't care where you go, it's true right today. Anybody today who's preaching the gospel of Christ preached by the Apostle Paul, but still with that gospel, believe that there are people today that must repent, as Paul said in Acts chapter 20, before believing that gospel, they must do certain things to make themselves favorable unto God to receive that gospel. In fact, they never will be. These people here will never be acceptable to those that do that. They aren't today. What has to be done to be acceptable? They have to walk their aisle for Jesus, pray at the altar, pray through, hold out to the end, get baptized, keep the commandments, and a thousand other things that they use as a wall of petition, and they never bring about the condition of the wall being removed and the one body being there. They don't teach it. They don't preach it. When they do preach it, they preach that that one body is their body. And to be in that one body, you must submit to their doctrine to be a part of it. Now, notice this gospel. How many times have you ever had people to tell you that, as one of our teachers here in this city does all the time, teaches that the gospel is there all the time, and no doubt that Abraham saw it and whatever. Let me tell you. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. The idea is that Abraham had it. No doubt about that. Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Well, how many times have I ever heard this man say it? I've heard him say it over and over. He heads a school here in Pensacola. I've heard that fellow over and over refer to the fact that Abraham had the gospel. You know, like as if everybody knew it. Well, I think it did. Go back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Now, Paul no doubt was a follower of Abraham. He was zealous for the law and all the other stuff. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither as I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, pray tell, why would God Almighty have to make a special revelation to the Apostle Paul of a gospel that had been there all the time? Well, it makes no sense at all. That is not. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem. Barnabas took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Verse 7. But contrawise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Verse 9. When James, Cephas, and John esteemed to be pillars to feed the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, them, why, those who talk about our father Abraham never any more knew this gospel that was revealed to the Apostle Paul by special revelation than my cat does. Well, that isn't a thing in the world, but just another instrument that the people use today to hang on to their Baptist, Presbyterian, and Methodist doctrine. I know a man right now up in Alabama. That man has studied Greek and whatever, and he's a teacher and he's a preacher and all that kind of thing. And that man knows the gospel of Christ, but that fella is going to do things today to stick with that thing that he's got right now no matter what. I mean, it's just like a fella told me one time up in Selma, Alabama, who was a Baptist pastor. That fella stood in that yard and he said, I don't care what you say, and you can point out anything in the Bible you want to point out. I was born a Baptist, raised a Baptist, and I'll be a Baptist till I die. And you know that fellow later on pastored a church up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and things got so bad there until finally he went before his board of deacons and said, the truth of the matter is we ought to change the name of this church here from Baptist Church to Bible Church. And they said, we've been wondering what's been holding you up all this time anyway. And they changed the name of it, and the thing began to fall apart, and that fellow just quit the ministry. Isn't that fascinating? In other words, a man, as long as he stuck with the Baptist and began would continue with the Baptist deal and everything, had people crowd around him. But he changed and became a Bible church,
and they went fully. I mean, they just, like a covey of quail, began to run hither and yon and speak out against him. And you know what? The last time I talked to that fellow, he cried. He said, I got to do something. If I don't do something, I end up in the hospital. That fellow just broke down and cried like a baby. Pressure, pressure, pressure. The whole thing in a nutshell was, he could have stated, you know what?
When that church quit being a Baptist church, that same man who was preaching at that time in the rescue mission in Chattanooga, Tennessee, that rescue mission being owned by Tennessee Temple too, that Baptist preacher was preaching there once a week in that rescue mission when they changed the sign out front from Baptist church to Bible church. The rescue mission said, we're sorry about that, but we can't use your services any longer. And that man said, well, Dr. Robinson, I'm preaching the same gospel now that I was then, and on and on. And Robinson said, well, I didn't have anything to do with it. And yet these same people, see, to get at us and try to confuse us and confuse those that have seen some truth but aren't really based in it yet and whatever, founded in it, they'll go to such passages as Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, and say, see that.
I preach the gospel of Abraham back then.
Well, Paul said, I received it by revelation, and Paul knew the scripture. Therefore, it can't be the gospel of the grace of God. There ain't no way. Now back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 2. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, wherein he preaches the gospel of the grace of God, which is given me, watch it, to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, which would be back in chapter 1 and chapter 2, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, who were aliens, in other words, from Christ, that these Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of promise in Christ by repentance, by abstaining from meat offered in sacrifice to idols, taking upon themselves certain elements of the law, the dietary laws, and whatever. No. That these Gentiles, who are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, should now become fellow heirs, as in chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, and of the same body, as in chapter 4, verse 4, and partakers of his promise, as in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it's a promise given before the foundation of the world, and it's in Christ by the gospel. In other words, they were made fellow heirs by the gospel, the grace of God. They became members of the same body by the gospel, the grace of God. They're partakers of the promise given in Christ before the foundation of the world by the gospel of the grace of God. And read it any way you want to read it. It's going to come out the same unless you make it say something it doesn't say. All right, we're going to stop there. Lord willing, we'll pick up in the same chapter next Sunday. Right now, let's take